If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 13. Jesus is teaching, and there were thousands who had gathered to hear him. And someone in the crowd, verse 13, this is God's word. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I'll tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour when he is not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, two against three. And they will be divided father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way. Or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is speaking most closely to his disciples, but also to the crowd. And at one point in this section, Peter says, I'm not sure, is this just for us or is this for everybody? Are you telling everybody these things? And Jesus doesn't answer his question directly. He just continues with his teaching. And then toward the end of this passage, very clearly says, Jesus said this, that he was about to say to the crowd. I think sometimes we're trying to figure out who the audience for God's word is supposed to be. I had a friend years ago say, the problem with a lot of sermons is they go in one ear and out the elbow. Now, what does that mean? It means you're sitting there listening and you're thinking, boy, I hope this person gets that. Boy, they really need this. Instead of saying, God, what are you speaking to me? How do I need to change? Have your way with me. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. What was this guy upset about? His brother wasn't treating him fairly. He wasn't getting what he felt was coming to him. And Jesus' response wasn't, where's your brother? I'll tell him. Jesus' response was, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Jesus knew that this man was saying this not because of his reverence for Jesus, but because he was focused on his inheritance. He just wanted somebody who was respected to intervene on his behalf. But the problem is, if he had really recognized who Jesus is, he would have realized he's in the presence of someone who is far more valuable than any inheritance he could have otherwise. He wouldn't have been distracted from Jesus by the petty things that often distract us and cause us to feel, I'm not being treated fairly. This isn't okay. Jesus basically blew him off. Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? And then he said to them, watch out, or someone may take advantage of you. You also might miss out on what you have coming. Is that what Jesus said? Not at all. Jesus said the danger is not that somebody might rip you off financially. The danger is greed. All kinds of greed. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Please notice the phrase all kinds. There's more than one way to be greedy. Some people are greedy for money. Some people aren't particularly greedy for money, but they are very greedy for attention, for being acknowledged by others. They just want people to see that they did it. Did you see what I did? Did you see that? It was so cool. Let me tell you about what happened today. I had the neatest experience, and man, I just, you know, somebody asked me a question. I knew exactly what to say. They said this, and then I said that. Isn't that cool? All kinds of greed. When your heart is craving getting for yourself, the place I've been most greedy has not been money. I've made many, many, many decisions that involve financial sacrifice. I'm not saying that to boast. I'm just about to tell you where my problem lies. Okay? It's not been with money. God's been very kind to me financially, but I have taken numerous steps in jobs over the years that involved a serious cut in pay. Coming here to start the ranch, we took a 50% pay cut. Okay? Why? Because God sent us here. And it was a privilege to be able to come and do this. But greed for money has not been my thing. My thing is, unfortunately, a buffet line. When I'm in the buffet line, I don't just want some food. I want that piece of chicken because it looks better to me than the others. And I never, ever think, oh, that is a really beautiful piece of chicken. I hope someone nice gets that. I always feel like it's me. Okay? And if someone who's ahead of me in the buffet line gets that piece of chicken, I feel robbed. I do. And when we get to the dessert thing, it's really bad. It's not just that, you know, I don't want two dishes of ice cream. I just want the best scoop. You know what I mean? I don't have to have the quantity. I just want the best. I want that piece of pie, that piece of cake, that scoop of ice cream. I want to be sure that I get what I set my heart on. And my heart is set on the wrong stuff. Stupid. It's ridiculous. Intellectually, I understand that. It's not that I'm confused. So, which piece should I want? You shouldn't care. Thank God you've got food. Don't worry about stuff. It's all going to go away. Everything you possess is all going to get burned up in the fire at the end of the age. So Jesus says, instead of being worried about your brother dividing the inheritance with you, you need to watch out. And he tells the whole crowd this. You need to watch out and be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's not what you're all about. John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism, received in his lifetime more money than any TV preacher adjusted for inflation. I mean, tons and tons and tons of money was given to John Wesley. And he died almost penniless. He didn't have a bunch of money when he died. He had less than I have adjusted for inflation. Okay? Well, what happened? Did he just make some bad business deals? No, he gave it away. It would come in and he'd give it away. And people would give him more and he'd give it away. Wow. He worked hard. But he wasn't working for himself. He was working for the Lord. And so despite all the wealth that was being donated to him, he was continually giving to others. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then he told them a parable. Please notice the first two words of the parable. the ground of a certain man, rich man, produced a good crop. Do you see anything ironic about Jesus' choice of words there? It wasn't the man who produced a good crop. Never is. It's the ground. Look at what I've done. Well, actually, the ground produced the crop, Jesus says. We plow the field and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. God is the one who gives the increase. And so this man, seeing this great crop that was more than he had anticipated, said, I don't even have a place to put all this food. Did it occur to him that he could share it? No. Instead, he thought, all this bounty is for me. And he says, I know what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and then I'll have a place to put all this. And God says, you're a fool. You're going to die tonight. And Jesus says, that's the way it'll be for everyone who is focused on himself, storing up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Well, how can I give it to God? Jesus says, give it to the poor. Give it to others. I've shared stories with you about how over the years various people have been led of the Lord to give stuff to Mrs. Wood and me, and it's been amazing. But when I receive great blessing, my first thought is not, oh, I wonder who this is for. My first thought is, wow, thank you. This is incredible. I just assume it's all for me. And sometimes God says, okay, you can keep that. But sometimes he says, that's not for you. The reason I gave you that was because that person over there needs it, and I'm giving you the pleasure of passing it on to them. Oh, okay. All right. I got it. Jesus says we need to stop just thinking about ourselves and start thinking about others. I've told the story before about when we were adopting three children from Ukraine. And the oldest one, none of them had ever met us. And the oldest one started giving away his possessions. He started giving away the few things he had. He was dirt poor, living in an orphanage in Ukraine. Do you understand? The house that his family had lived in before he went to the orphanage literally had a dirt floor. Okay? And it wasn't in some South Sea island paradise. It was in a frigid climate, Ukraine. But when he found out that he was being adopted and taken to America, he knew that he had some things like a coat and a little tape player. You don't even know what those are. But a little tape player and some other things that other kids in the orphanage would really like to have. And so he began giving his prized possessions to them, his favorite things. He didn't say, I've got to take this to America. He knew that in America, all his needs would be met by this family he'd never met, but whose word he believed. Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, about what you're going to wear. Your heavenly Father knows what you need, and he will provide. Look at the way he takes care of the birds. They don't have barns. They don't have to. God feeds them. Look at the way the flowers are clothed. They're beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. God made it that way. Jesus says, you're more valuable than the birds. And the grass of the field, God knows that it's going to end up withering and being destroyed, but he continues to make it beautiful in its lifetime. He'll take care of you. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. The most basic necessities of life. Jesus doesn't say you don't need those things. He says your Father knows that you need them and He'll provide them. So what you need to focus on is not getting stuff for yourself. Instead, focus on His kingdom and His righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. Your Heavenly Father will meet your needs. I just want to ask you, do you believe that? Because the point is, Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about the stuff in this life. But if I don't save it all up and if I don't do this, then what am I going to do? You're saving it up for others. Either way. Jesus said in that parable of the rich fool, don't you realize others are going to get everything you've stored up for yourself? Now, if you're storing it up for others because you want to have a way of giving to others when you're gone, for instance, I have some things that I have saved so that when I die, they can be used by others who will need them. Because, for instance, my oldest son, who is physically handicapped, is not in a position to earn money to take care of all his needs. So I've made provision for him in my savings. But you see, the big chunk that I've saved up is called life insurance. And in order for him to get that money, can you guess what has to happen to me? Now he's got money. And I'm fine with that. Well, but couldn't you spend that money now on yourself? I could, but I don't need to, because God meets all my needs. He takes care of me. God will take care of you if you're trusting in Him. If you're His child, then you don't have to be afraid. And Jesus then talks about being prepared for His return. And He says the way that we are to live our lives should be based on the expectation, an eager expectation for the Lord's return. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. And then he says something utterly astounding. I tell you the truth. He will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. Nobody else has that kind of attitude. But that's Jesus. He says, those who are my faithful servants, eager for my return, I'm going to wait on them. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to serve them. And there's no greater picture of that. I know you're thinking Jesus washing the disciples' feet, right? Jesus washing the disciples' feet was a prelude for what he was about to do. There's no greater picture of that than Jesus on the cross. Jesus literally gave his life to meet our need. Literally did. He died for us. Not as some grand dramatic gesture. He died for us because it was the only way we could be saved. We could not pay for our sins and save others. Jesus did. He paid for our sins and offered salvation to all who believe. Let me tell you something. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus said. And that's what Jesus did. And that's why we should live eagerly looking forward to his coming. And our focus shouldn't be, you know, I want what is coming to me and that person's holding back. I recently had a situation where someone took advantage of me financially. And I thought about what could I do in order to make it right. And I thought, nothing. I mean, it's not that I don't have options I could pursue, but why? I said to my wife, my experience has been, and I've had a lot of experience, if I will just trust in God, God will make it up to me and take it out of them. I've seen it over and over. Because God promises, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. It's okay. And he says to those who are his, turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. Don't be afraid that you're going to be taken advantage of. Lay your life down. Serve Jesus. And he'll take care of you. Jesus also tells us in this section that when he returns, there will be judgment. All of us are going to give an account for what we've done. And the more we know, the more we'll be held responsible. The master of the servant who was in charge, the one who had the most responsibility and the most information, and instead took advantage of other people in order to increase his own comfort. The master of that servant, verse 46, will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows his master's will and doesn't get ready or doesn't do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. The one who does not know and does things deserving punishment, they still deserve punishment, but they'll be beaten with few blows. From everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Let me just tell you something. You may not realize it, but all of you have been given much. All of you have been given much. Sometimes people think they're doing folks a favor by encouraging them to feel sorry for themselves. You've had it rough. You've been denied the opportunities that you ought to have, and it's just bad. One of my sons, I've told you before, one that we adopted from here in the States, who'd grown up as a black kid in inner city Montgomery, Alabama, homeless at times, with a mom who was dying of cancer, came to the ranch when he was still in elementary school. We ended up adopting him when he was a teenager. He graduated from here and wanted to do a service project in Central America. In his words, in order to improve my Spanish and in order to give back to others. He went to Nicaragua, one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. And when he came back, he'd lost 30 pounds. And he wasn't heavy when he went down there at all. But he said, I had no idea what poverty was. He said, I thought growing up in Montgomery that we were poor. Because compared to other people in Montgomery, we were poor. But he said, there are no poor people in America. The poor people in the United States have no idea how much better off they are than so many other people in the world. He had learned an important lesson. And by the way, that wasn't his last trip to Central America in order to try and give back. I'll tell you something. You've been blessed. You have been blessed. You and I have been richly blessed. If you're not wondering where you're going to sleep, and if you haven't had to go without food today, you're blessed. And you need to be grateful. Jesus says, the more you have been given, the more God will demand of you. So don't resent what you've been given, because now I'm going to have to give an account to God. Just realize everything we have belongs to God, ultimately. And our job is to manage what He's entrusted to us. But He says, I haven't come to bring peace on the earth, but division. There's judgment coming, and there's going to be suffering in this life. And there's going to be division in families where people are going to side against you if you are a follower of Jesus. And so He says, you know how to anticipate based on the signs in nature what the weather is going to be. Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you're going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to Him on the way. What's He talking about? The time is short. And you need to be at peace with God. And you need to stop being involved in conflict with others because you want your way. Jesus says, just let it go. Stop it. Well, but this person's being unfair to me. Okay. And He says, I tell you, make peace as best you can. Now, what if the other person will not make peace? Well, then you're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. And that's okay, because you'll be rewarded for that. But if you're determined to make sure that you get what's fair, watch out. I don't want what's fair in my life. Because if I got what was fair in my life, I'd go to hell. That's what I deserve. Oh, no, I meant with regard to this over here. Jesus said, if you've been forgiven by the Father, you need to forgive others. God demands it. He doesn't suggest it. He demands it. Can you forgive? Well, does that mean we never confront anybody who's done wrong? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means we're not focused on us, our feelings. How does this affect me? If you're concerned about that other person's well-being and you want to go to them and encourage them to do the right thing, praise the Lord. If you're focused on trying to settle scores and make sure you get what's coming to you, watch out. Watch out. Jesus said that. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your amazing grace, for loving us when we didn't love You, for rescuing us when we were Your enemies. Help us to believe the good news and to do what You say. And we will give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.